Hey, yo, you ready?
Well, we've got an especially dirty hippie here down on the court trying to sink an impossible shot.
This is human drama at its best. Just focusing, taking a moment to concentrate. That's okay. Concentrate all you want.
Let's do it.
Coach Yellow,
well, how's your bracket?
Okay. All right, we need to talk about something here with the bracket. So I consider myself someone who's extremely into college basketball. I watch a lot of games, a lot. It's like all I do on Saturdays and, you know, Thursday nights. I'm even watching the West Coast games. I'm up until past midnight watching Gonzaga, I even knew UC Santa Barbara was going to be good, and I knew that was going to be a tight game. Like, I know these teams. Like, I knew Abilene Christian. I fucking watched them play.
This year,
I watched them play.
That's impressive.
Did I think they were going to beat up on UT, Texas? Absolutely not. No, I had Texas going deep. I had Purdue going deep. I had Ohio State going deep. I don't know. It's just like I feel like every time you get into a bracket pool with people, whether it be at work, with your family, whatever it is, the mom who has no clue,
yep,
who has never watched a game of basketball, her son played in like seventh grade and that was it, wins the $500.
Always. Or it's always the autofills.
Always.
They always win.
Right. Right. So, all that being said, my bracket is awful.
So it's March 21st.
March 21st.
There's zero brackets remaining that are perfect.
Yeah, I don't know how there could be with all the upsets that have happened. And they've been big upsets.
First round.
Zero brackets. The North Texas Mean Green beat up on the Purdue Boilermakers. Best part about University of North Texas, for all of our listeners out there and for all of you, if you haven't seen this, look up a mug of University of North Texas online. You'll get a good kick out of it. And that's really all I'll say about it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
I had Ohio State going to the Elite. Everyone in here must have had Ohio State going at least to the Sweet 16.
Well, again, they were awesome in the Big Ten championship game. Took Illinois to the overtime. They looked awesome, like playing their best basketball, and they just got pounded by Oral Roberts.
I had them in the finals. I had them in the finals in every single bracket I made.
How many brackets did you make?
Three. So I did one for work, one, yep, me and my boyfriend like are going head-to-head, yep, like, winner gets like a dinner or whatever.
Right. And how are you? How is that one looking?
Well,
will that be tight? Because he had probably had a lot of the same picks.
He did. Well, we both picked Zags to win it all.
Yeah.
So, which I feel like most people did.
I did as well.
It's funny though, and I will say, I only love Ohio State because of Aaron Kraft. And what was that, 10 years ago? Like,
yes,
sweat that dude.
Yeah.
Still to this day.
Did you see him in the TBT this past summer?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Still playing great basketball?
Still playing great basketball, but he's retiring from basketball to become a doctor. He's going to med school.
Of course he is, because, yeah, he's an angel sent from heaven,
right,
above.
He's
like,
unbelievable.
he
is awesome.
I love point guards so much, and I love point guards like that yeah, play defense on the floor.
Play really hard.
Yes. Yeah. And that,
I played on the floor.
Of course.
I did play on the floor. I transitioned to a forward, but yeah. So the voice that you guys are hearing right now is not producer Paul. So we're a little late on this introduction, but we are blessed, hashtag blessed, to have Annie Dow in here from 104.1.
That's right.
And I would love to be able to give you a better introduction. I feel like because we're in the presence of somebody who does this for a living,
right,
it's best to just hand it off to you.
Okay. I mean, I can't believe you said you're blessed that I'm
too
here.
Too blessed to be stressed.
I feel blessed. Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky in the position that I'm in. I've worked for the radio station for 3 years now. I graduated in 2017, and then I got a job. I started working overnights in July of that year, and then I started working on the morning show in that December. So it's just been kind of a crazy ride, to be honest with you. To be in radio as a young person,
sure,
is crazy, just because I think it's a lot of seasoned people. I got a lot of crap in college for, because radio was all, radio and TV were always my dream. I knew I wanted to be in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I actually had a professor in college that said, you need to pick a new career path. This isn't for you. Radio is dead. It's not going to work out. And I have a lot of feelings about that still. I don't think you should ever tell someone to not chase their dream. He was such a good professor, but like, I don't care if you want to be the head chef at McDonald's. If that is your dream, that is your dream. And I'm not going to say anything about that. Like, 100%. I'm coming to you and I'm saying, this is my dream. I'm going to work my ass off to get there.
Right.
And you should respect that. And yes. You should encourage that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just such a crazy thing to me to tell a 20-year-old, like,
well, you hear that all the time with, like, you know, professional athletes. They had that one teacher in sixth grade who was like, you know, all right, what's your dream? To play in the NBA. Okay, give us a new dream because that's not going to happen.
Michael Jordan, you know, getting cut. Like,
yeah, just like all that stuff. Like all those teachers who always say that. I know it is. I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous.
And I was saying to you, I hate being petty, but part of me wants to like send him like a bit from like the radio now and just be like,
right.
Well, I'm on a top. I'm at a Boston radio station, so right. I think I'm doing okay.
On the main show, the morning show, what people listen to, you know. But right. it is interesting, and I want to ask you a question on it. Do you think, you know, like you had said, there's more seasoned people in radio and things like that.
Sure.
Do you feel like you are the last of a dying breed almost in terms of a younger person getting into radio? Because, again, usually now people around our age are just doing what we're doing.
Right.
Starting up a podcast, and they try and, you know, do something that way rather than get into radio because, you know. What do I say? I listen to a ton of radio? No, but do I listen to it? Yes, but I would say I probably listen to podcasts more than I listen to radio.
Right. And I feel like the good thing about being in radio now is there's so many different ways to do it. So yes, yeah. I'm on traditional radio, but I can also do stuff like this. I can also put out videos. Like there's so many more avenues now to get your voice out there, to get all of that stuff. I just feel so lucky to be young in this industry because I don't think a lot of people even pay it any mind anymore. But it's like when you get into your car, the first thing you're going to do is turn on the radio. Like that's always going to be something.
Right.
People say that about TV. TV's dying. I'm like, well, you're still watching the news, dude. Like,
yeah. And there's a lot of loyalty to radio. I feel
absolutely.
Like for like the older population, like they're radio people.
Definitely.
And they always will be. Like my dad has, you know, I told him we were doing this podcast. And he knows, like, we've mentioned him a few times. Like I said, he texted me yesterday saying, hey, playing Keno, when can I call in?
Right.
But there is no calling into a podcast. Like, you know, but there's calling into radio because that's all he knows. And I think there is something to that. Like, if, you know, a younger generation kind of coming in, be able to pick up the energy of where the older population, you know, left it.
Well, and spicing it up, you know? Right. Like, there's so many things that as a young person you can bring to it. To a table with a radio station.
Sure.
New music, new opinions. I mean, these people have just been in it for so long. There's guys in Boston that have been on the radio for 40 years and are still saying stupid misogynistic things. And like, that shit doesn't fly with me.
Right.
Like, that's just not what we're going to do here.
Right.
So I think that, like, I had my boss come up to me the other day. He was like, you changed the culture of this radio station because people just get so set in their ways. You need young blood.
Routine.
You know,
routine.
You need someone that's going to kind of change it up a little bit.
Right.
You need a new voice.
Yeah. And I think that's in any industry.
Right.
Like where I, you know, like we spoke about, I coach at Severian. I'm the youngest coach there. But when they were going through the process of hiring somebody, they wanted somebody young because they wanted that kind of fresh blood, that fresh energy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it is important. You know, to be able to, you know, again, spice it up, like you said.
Right.
So outside of the professional career, what was Annie Dow's basketball career?
Okay,
this is a little basketball.
A little bit.
This is a little basketball.
It is a little basketball. I loved basketball so much. Just growing up, it was all I wanted to do as a kid. I was definitely a better softball player than a basketball player. Softball and baseball just came naturally to me. I think basketball I just always worked harder at because I loved it so much. I was in your face, like the most annoying defender. I had a girl come up to me the first varsity game I ever played at North. We played Quincy High and I covered this girl who was like captain. She was homecoming queen. Everyone was obsessed with her. She was great. And she came up to me after the game and she was like, you were the most annoying person that has ever defended me.
It's a compliment.
It really was. Yeah, I was like, thank you. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's a compliment.
my high school career was interesting. I actually was just talking about this. So I played one freshman game and then they pulled me up to varsity, and which is a compliment, of course.
Humble brag.
I know. I'm like,
not a big deal.
But I honestly was pissed because I'm just sitting on the bench. I'm like they'd put me in for like 2 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And I wanted to be on the freshman team where I'm the superstar, you know? I want to play the entire game. I wanted to be the best on the court. And getting pulled up to varsity was just like kind of a confidence blow in a weird way. Obviously, it's such a compliment to be pulled up and stuff, but I wasn't playing.
Yeah, that is a weird...
Which sucked.
And Paul, you might be able to attest to this too, being a JV. It is interesting. Like, okay, do I pull this kid up to varsity and he's not going to play a lot, or do we keep him on JV or freshman and they play a ton?
Right.
Like, I guess it's all dependent on what the coach values. For me, I keep the kids down because I want them to get the reps and the minutes.
Right.
I don't need you rotting away at the end of my bench because it's like, hey, that's a sophomore or freshman on varsity. Like, that's a waste of your time.
I'm there with you with that one, too.
It's just a waste of time.
That's exactly how I felt. Like, I'm just sitting on the end of the bench. I'm like, if I was on the freshman or the JV team. I think they let me play, like, one quarter JV and then I'd do three varsity or something. But I wasn't getting any better at basketball because I'm just sitting there. It was great practicing with the varsity kids because, obviously, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, whatever. And I'm not a tall person, so, like, that made me better and everything, too. I really thrived in AAU. AAU was, like, really... where I loved basketball because my team was like basically all guards. We were fast. We pressed the entire game, like just so annoying to play, I'm sure. But high school, I feel I kind of got robbed because so after getting pulled up, sitting on the bench, whatever, then we switched coaches and her and I just never got along. And I hate being like, oh, the coach didn't like me, whatever. But it sucks when you have a coach that makes the sport not fun for you anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure like the most important thing to you probably as a coach is to make sure like the kids are still loving basketball.
Right. And I will say this is a coach positive podcast. So
yes.
Be careful. Well,
and I'm not even trying to crap on her because she wasn't a bad coach. It just sucks. It sucks when someone makes you not love the sport.
Yeah. It
anymore.
Sucks the air out of the room a little bit for you.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that too. Like I definitely, being a coach now, I definitely took things that I had coaches that I really loved and I had coaches that I maybe didn't always get along with either.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I was telling Ryan, I was like, AAU as in general, you don't get a lot of time to spend on the court with these kids.
Sure.
And for us, like we got like 8 new bodies on the court this season. So I was like, you know what? I was like, I was thinking about just going ahead and bringing them out for a team dinner. Right from the jump and canceling our first practice and be like, hey, let's get to know each other before we have to actually be in a court where we're trusting each other to make mistakes. Yeah. And it's high school seasons. You guys can attest to this. High school, you're practicing 5-6 days a week. You have games at nights.
Yep.
For what I do, I'm practicing 3 hours a week, 2 days a week.
Right.
And then going to ask these kids to play a certain way that like same thing in your face, playing really tough.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. Especially for kids that are like, we talked about this last episode, like kids are in a totally different environment. The culture of like basketball is changing every day.
Yeah.
So to ask kids to play like that old school way of hoop when they don't even like really know who they're playing with or for.
Sure.
It's tough. It's tough to be able to manage that.
The best team I was on, Quincy or Sacred Heart does like an in-house and then a travel.
Yep.
And I played with the same girls from third grade to eighth grade. And we were family because, I mean, those are going to be the best games of basketball because you're just around these people so much, they become everything to you. Mm-hmm. And when we were in eighth grade, they actually put us in the boys' league because we were just so much better.
Just dominating people.
We were so much better than everyone else. Yeah. And that made me a better basketball player too. Like just playing against the boys, you know, getting beat up, doing all of that stuff. I like that you do that, like taking the kids out to dinner because you have to know each other. That's how it's going to translate onto the court, you know?
Yeah. It's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
It's way beyond X's and O's. Everyone spends all this time and we're going to, I didn't want to make this into a podcast where we talk about like local sports, Celtics, you know, whatever. But it's a fact. Like right now, the Celtics are in a crazy position to have
spiral.
All this talent, right? All this talent. And then I'm a Brad Stevens fan. I think he's one of the most brilliant minds in the game of basketball. But at the same time, I think it's really easy for anyone to see that he's having an extremely difficult time managing personalities. You have two all-stars on a team, arguably one of the best defenders in the entire league. You have young talent in, you know, in Rob Williams, whatever.
Right.
You have all these guys. But you're losing basketball games. You're losing to the Cavaliers. You're losing to the Pistons. And people are asking questions, right? And I think it's exactly what we're talking about. It's like, it has nothing to do with X's and O's because he can draw up a play better than anybody in the entire league, arguably. But at the same time, you're now coaching and mentoring men.
Right.
You're coaching guys who have millions of dollars. And, you know, if you can't get through to, you know, players, men, kids, whatever it is, you're never going to be successful.
But I also hate the argument of, well, he's not intimidating. The players aren't scared of him. I don't think you should be scared of a coach. Like, I think of Pop, and Pop is probably one of the best coaches I've ever seen, right? And I understand there's a level of, I don't want to mess up because I'm scared of what he's going to do. But I don't necessarily think that that makes a great coach. I think Brad Stevens is a great coach, and I don't think he has to be intimidating to do so. Do you know what I mean? I just don't like that argument.
Yeah, the NBA stuff is really interesting. Like, it's like Brendan said, it's just managing personalities.
Yeah.
Like, the best coaches, like Phil Jackson, for instance,
sure,
he had assistant coaches who did all the X's and O's, but he was the master at managing personalities,
right,
like taking Rodman and sticking him in with Pippen and Jordan. And,
right,
you know, everyone's seen The Last Dance and knows that whole story, but like just being able to manage everybody, he was a master. Shaq and Kobe, being able to manage them for as long as he did.
I don't think it's about intimidating players. It's more about accountability.
Yeah.
I think fans and basketball enthusiasts that are in this room are watching those games and being like, is there any sort of accountability when Tatum takes a sidestep three with 24 seconds left in the clock? Is there any accountability with Marcus Smart taking three terrible three-pointers when they're down 4 points with 1 minute left in the game? Like, and there's no sense of like anybody holding each other accountable from the sidelines. I think that's more, and again, like you're saying,
and the respect. It's accountability, respect.
Sure.
And you're having, I'm sitting here saying the moment they hired him, and I'm still pro Brad Stevens, never going to tell you otherwise. But at the same time, when you think about when they had guys like Doc Rivers and when they were successful, like, you know, Doc Rivers and Rondo like butted heads every single day.
Yeah.
And they were
master personality manager, Doc Rivers. You can see it with Joel Embiid this year.
Yeah, you have to get the most out of your guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people are struggling with. And you have Twitter is, again, like dumpster fire. People just shit on everyone on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, he's getting crushed on there.
I think Brad's going back home. Everybody here sitting at this table, I think Brad's going back home.
You think so?
Well, I wouldn't.
If I were him, I would.
I wouldn't even blame him. Like,
if I were him, I would be on a flight to Bloomington, Indiana yesterday.
And just not deal with the
yesterday.
Bullshit.
Well, not deal with the NBA nonsense. He's going to get paid just as much at Indiana because they have the money to do it.
Yeah.
He will be a folk hero.
Yeah.
If he brings that program back around.
It's weird to me, though, because when you see the Celtics players like hanging out, they look like they love each other. They have so much fun. So I don't understand how that's not translating onto the court. Like, how can you watch Jay and Marcus having a ball, literally loving each other, and then it looks like they're strangers on the court?
I pick up on little things. Me and Paul used to live together.
Yeah.
And Paul will remember this. We were watching when Kyrie played.
Yeah.
Kyrie gets checked into the game. Jaylen Brown's at the free throw line. Do you remember this? Yeah. And Paul, if I poke him right now, green blood. So.
Yeah, Paul is, Mr.
He was so mad when I brought this up because when he has Kyrie tattooed on his chest. He'll show you after this podcast. And I stopped it. I stopped the game and I was like, did you see the way Jaylen Brown looked at Kyrie when he checked in the game? All he had to do was a simple look over at the table and his body language told me that he was like, this motherfucker coming into the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And if you look at Jaylen Brown now, post-game interviews, what does he always do? He always deflects. He says, you know, no comment. Like when they're talking about the struggles or whatever it is. If you have a locker room that is like you're saying, they're going to comment. They're going to be like, hey, you know what? We're going through rough patches right now. We have the trust in our coach. You know, we're going to get this going. But you have guys, I feel like, at least, and Ryan, you can talk about this after. I feel like there's guys that are afraid to communicate with each other in that locker room.
Yeah.
And you have some really strong personalities, like a Marcus Smart, right?
Sure.
And then you have guys who feel like they want to have more of a voice because of how talented they are. But because maybe they're a little bit younger and because of maybe they're being called out in certain ways that they don't feel like they don't have the ability to speak the way mm-hmm. they want. And then that can cause that friction that you don't want to see happen. And then all of a sudden as a coach, if you're not that coach that has the ability to step in and push those guys to the side, well, now you're in a position where you're going to struggle.
Right.
And I think that's where it is. I think if I had to guess, again, I had this conversation with Ryan not too long ago.
Yep.
Marcus Smart comes in to Brad Stevens' office after taking those three bad threes with a minute left in the game. I don't even know who it was against recently, but is Brad Stevens calling Marcus Smart out?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Did anybody else think so?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't mess with that man. No. I would never mess with that man.
But there are coaches who would.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers would. And I'm not saying that Doc Rivers is the answer, right? I'm just saying Doc Rivers because obviously, we saw Doc Rivers on a night-to-night basis when he was a Celtics coach.
Yeah.
And now you have all these specials that come out with the 08 Celtics, and you see how it was.
Right.
And who knows? Like, maybe there's going to be a documentary 10 years from now when it's like all this behind-the-scenes stuff going on with Brad, and we can be sitting here like, wow, shit, like, we were wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was listening to another podcast, the Rajah Bell podcast, and he had Darren Williams on there, and they were talking about Jerry Sloan. And Jerry Sloan, you know, obviously longtime storied coach for the Jazz, would threaten to fight the players. He's like, I'll knock you out right now.
Yeah.
I love that. Right now. To Karl Malone, who is like a statue. He's like a statue of marble. He's like, I'll knock you out right now. And he goes, and then this was my favorite part of the quote. He goes, I'll knock any of you out. And the guys that I can't, I have an ice pick in my car. I'll go get it.
Oh, that's unreal. The Celtics are just like, so frustrating. I've never been so frustrated with a team. How do you have this many talented people? You're playing for one of the best organizations. How do you look at 17 banners above you and you're not getting on the floor? Get the fuck out of my face. I can't stand it. I am so old school, like Larry Bird Celtics. I hate three ball basketball. Like, I don't want to see you pull up and take a three. Drive and dish, dude. Like, what are we doing?
So here's another theory that I have, and I'll throw on my tinfoil hat here about Jason Tatum. And Paul, I think you'll agree with this. And again, Paul is, you're probably one of the biggest Celtics fans that I know. After he had a great rookie year, everyone's like, oh my God, like this is our guy. Like, he's going to be here for 15 years and get us two or three championships here.
Sure.
Had the great rookie year. Everyone's talking him up. Came into his second year because everyone was talking him up, and he was bad. Bad. And he heard all that too. And then last year, how good was he last year? Great. He's hearing all the great stuff now. And this year he's, you know, again, he's not great again. Not getting to the free throw line as much as he needs to. Not driving to the basket. Again, relying on step back threes, which, you know what? He makes a fair amount of them. He's a specialist at making really tough shots, and that's what scorers do. But at his size and with his ability, like, he has to shoot more free throws. He has to get to the rim.
And I don't want to spend time on this because we've been talking about it
right
in the last episode. But the problem is that he takes that shot that you just talked about, that step back.
Yep.
And then there's a million retweets 10 minutes later.
Right.
From Ball's Life, NBA, whatever.
Yeah.
So now that he goes home, he sees that. And he thinks, oh, yeah, people want to see more of that.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Top shot. You guys into this top shot nonsense? Don't even get me going. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
You know, I'm into the crypto game a bit, but I don't understand the top shot stuff. That's a whole nother world.
No, I'm not.
Well, no, I don't. I'll just watch the highlight on YouTube. Right. I don't need to own it.
Oh, those NFTs?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Wild. I don't understand it at
all.
No. I'm into the Bitcoin stuff.
Sure.
You know, I'm having a nice time with that, watching that go up and down. But like, the NFT stuff is
makes
just,
no sense to me. It's like trading cards.
Trading cards.
Like, you own what?
Now
Jaylen Brown making a shot, I can go and watch that. I'm okay.
Right. Trading cards is interesting. Like, I want to go back to my parents' house and dig up all the old, like, boxes of baseball cards.
Oh, you can make
money. There could
money.
Be, like, a $10,000 yes. card in there.
I already sent a few in.
Oh, you did?
Kobe rookie card.
Oh, that's unreal.
To PSA?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's probably money.
Yeah, I don't know how much. It goes by, like...
It depends on the rating of it.
Yeah.
If you got a 9 or a 10, dude... You're good.
We might have to cut this out
for a little while.
Who knows? Listen to this. We have to lock the doors now, right?
Well, you'll definitely have to lock the doors. Go get a deposit box at the local bank at Quincy Central or whatever it's called over here.
Let's not spend any more time on the Celtics than we, because you can. Right. There's a million again. There's a million a radio shows that literally like they just spend their entire day bashing right. Celtics, bashing right. Stevens, and we're not trying to do that here. Like we're coaches in this room. And
love Brad Stevens. Love I Brad can't Stevens. Wait to see him on the sidelines in Bloomington.
Did you see that poor kid from Ohio State?
Yes.
Getting crushed on crushed. Like, DMs.
Crushed.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh.
Crushed.
What, on
People
Twitter?
People are vicious.
So EJ Liddell was getting absolutely tortured through his DMs on Instagram.
Yeah, for those who don't know, he's probably the best or second best player on Ohio State, who lost to Oral Roberts 15-2, ruined all of our brackets. I think
all
we,
of them.
You know, as mentioned, but... Yeah, I don't understand that stuff. And, like, you know, I think professional athletes deal with it literally every time they play or every single day. But for, like, a 18-year-old or a 17-year-old to have to deal with that type of stuff from some 53-year-old Ohio State fan is just, like, outrageous.
It's hard enough to be able to get to that stage, right?
Right.
It's hard enough to get to that stage.
Which we've talked about.
Yeah, and then you're there. You know that millions of people are watching. Because of, obviously, people are watching March Madness that don't even follow college hoop just because of betting, right? So millions of people are watching this, and most of them don't even care about, like, the actual outcome of the game. They just want to make sure that they're either covering their bet
or their
bracket is the way it is. But, again, like you just said, like, I think about even other sports where you have guys who have, like, Buckner.
Yeah.
Like, You see the special that was happening with him that they did on like Nesson one day.
The guy from the Cubs, Bartman there, the fan.
Oh.
Like the lives are down.
Lives are over.
Over.
Lives are over.
Over.
I just can't, I was just saying this, I can't imagine ever typing those words to someone and feeling good about myself. What did you accomplish by sliding into this kid's DMs, calling him racial slurs, saying these terrible, terrible things because he didn't play a great basketball game? Grow up. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and it's like in the grand scheme of things, it means
nothing.
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 Nothing. And it's just like, I never understand it. And we were talking a little bit off air just a few minutes ago, like you receiving probably some stuff just because it's like, one, Brandon and I talk about this, it's jealousy.
Yeah.
They're jealous that they're not in that position and they're, you know, they don't feel good about themselves.
Sure.
And two, I think when you just put yourself in that, you know, out in the public, like you're naturally going to, you know, you're going to get some hate. That's just natural. But
people,
like,
think that they have a right to say stuff
right.
to you
and they
because
think
you're
that
public.
Everyone thinks they can do it better. And that, like, goes into the coaching thing. Like, everyone's a coach on Twitter.
Oh, and everyone's a ref on Twitter.
Everyone's a ref on Twitter. Everyone's a coach on Twitter. Everyone's a radio personality. And everyone thinks that they can play for Ohio State basketball.
It's just so weird to me to ever say something like that to a stranger. And I've had this conversation before where I'm like, you don't even know me.
Right.
You know who I am on the radio. You have no idea my family. You have no idea who I really am as a person. It's so upsetting that people are that insecure and that miserable in their own lives that they would say that to a stranger.
Exactly. Oh no, I see your face.
Producer Paul was just showing me some stats. I know that Ryan said he had a bad game. He finished with 23 points, 10 of 15 shooting.
14 rebounds.
14 rebounds. So we have a... You're a tough, tough critic on whether or not someone plays good or not. So we can throw that out there to start. So were you one of the guys sliding up? Whoa. Like, what's going on here?
Well, we're going to have to cut all of that. I did mention I didn't watch a ton of that game. I assumed. I can't assume. I got to stop doing it. 23 points, 14
out of 15.
So, but that's
all right. But that makes it seem that's even worse.
That's
Why
even worse.
So, what did these people think? What else could he have done?
What, honestly?
His back is broken.
Like, yeah.
Trying to carry that game.
That's great. 10 of 15 shooting. Are you sure that's the right? Is that
nah,
sure
that might have been a different game, Paul. Are you sure you pulled up the right game?
He's positive.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust that guy over there. trying to make me look bad.
First round's been crazy, though. And then you had, again, this is March 21st today that we're recording, but last night you had VCU had their game canceled.
Canceled because, yep. And Oregon just moves on.
Because
of COVID. So Oregon just moves on.
So what happens there in terms of like the betting world?
Everything is just null and void. You just get your money back. Yeah.
Damn.
But speaking of a positive from the Ohio State and Oral Roberts game, a friend of mine, whom you know, we won't mention his name, he used to be a coach, no longer a coach, bet $100 or $150 on Oral Roberts to win. He's like, hey, why not? He sent me a screenshot of it. Won $1,500.
Holy smokes. Won
$1,500. Yeah. Yeah. So he was like, we were texting. It was like a group of a few coaches. We were texting each other like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And he's just sending like these crazy gifts of like a guy like freaking out. And
he said he was
the worst person to ever be with at the bar that day. He was watching the game, just screaming at the TV. Everyone's like, what is this guy doing?
Who cares? Because
he has a chance to win $1,500.
Yeah, you turn into a different type of person during March
when
Madness.
There's money on the line, I think with anything in life, you become a different person.
I'm not a gambler at all, but the only time I've bet in the last year was with Super Bowl prop bets. I lost every single one. Literally every single one. I was like, yeah, I should just
no,
not do this.
It's a dangerous game. I'm not a gambler myself either, other than like bracket pools and stuff like that. Because I think I would just get too worked up. I wouldn't be able to enjoy
it. It's too stressful.
I wouldn't be able to enjoy it.
Right.
I'd get so worked up.
I can't deal with that anxiety. I'm like, I'm good. I got my own.
I get worked up without even, never mind money on
same.
Life. With all this basketball talk, we started practice this week for AAU. And first practice in, I didn't have enough guys to go 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm about to say.
Yeah, you laced them up.
First time in 8 months, I think, that I played. Like, ran up and down the court.
Yeah.
Like, played. Like, you know, I'll lace them up, get in the half court to, like, do some shell drill
stuff.
I
wish everyone could see my face right now, because I know how your legs are feeling right now.
I still feel it. Like, I'm first off, like, I am not the most, Bruce Paul word, sorry. Fuck, I didn't think I was going to do this soon. Flexible.
Well, I was going to say limber. I was going to say limber. Yeah, you didn't even give him a chance.
Yeah. No.
Because you didn't even try for the
word. No, but it's true. I'm not the most flexible person. I probably could have been like 6'7" if I actually stretched in my life.
Sure.
But now, like when I'm getting out of bed, I'm like an elastic band. It's just like, it's just like flying at me. Like I throw my leg up and it just swoops back to the other side.
Right.
I feel like I'm going to tear something at any point. I'm brushing my teeth, I'm throwing my back out.
Well, you know, I said this to you last time I was here. Kim saw me walk down the stairs the other day and she said, do you need a physical therapist?
Oh my God, stop. That's when you know.
My knees hurt right now. I'm just sitting here.
I'm going to get
thinking
back.
Thinking about you playing.
I want to get back to us playing, but yesterday I was with a buddy of mine, Thomas Regan, who runs Regan's Motivated Fitness in South Boston. And if anybody who lives in South Boston, make sure to go check it out. He does a fantastic job.
Nice guy.
He's awesome. If he could just be my motivational coach waking up. I mean, he wakes up in the morning. He literally is just the happiest kid in the world.
He's awesome.
But I had him on. I had Sheehan on the phone with me yesterday because what we're trying to do is set up a
listen to this
almost like an IG live boot camp with Thomas Regan. So during quarantine he was doing a lot of stuff because his gym was closed.
Sure.
He was doing a lot of stuff where he was putting a lot of his classes on IG live, and he did an awesome job. But I reached out to him. I'm like, man, I got to get back into it. I did one of his classes online, and then like a month later we started this podcast, and I mentioned to Sheehan, I'm like, dude, we should do a class together and we can put it up. It'd be hilarious. And I knew that Ryan hadn't worked out like a day in his life. Like this, I mean, and Annie, like Ryan, again, not to pump his tires too much, but like he was a really good hoop player, scored a lot of points. But I don't know what his workout. I don't know what
defend a lick.
Yeah, I don't know what his routine was.
One side of the floor guy.
I don't know what his workout routine was, or if there even was one.
So my workouts consisted of just basketball stuff. Like I would work out for like 2 hours, shooting ball handling, like typical basketball workout.
Yeah.
But you could very rarely, if ever, find me in the weight room. Now that I'm outside of playing and everything for however long it's been. My friends are going to die at this because it's the truth. I had a membership to the YMCA in my town.
Yeah.
The only reason I had the membership was to go into the sauna or the steam room.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That is amazing.
And that was it. That's all I would do. I'd sit in there for a half an hour, And I'd be like, what a heck of a day. And I'd walk out.
Do you think...
Man, like $60 to use the steam room.
Do you think you would have been a better athlete if you lifted?
Probably, but I just like, even when I would lift, and you know, obviously you're in college, like you have college workouts, so sure. You are lifting and doing things like that. And I could just never really put on the weight that I necessarily needed to. I was always a big believer, and Corey Lowe is the same way, who, you know, was on with us last episode. He was never a big weightlifter guy, but like you're basketball strong.
Yeah.
You know, and you're basketball, like the ball's not going to get ripped from me, but I probably can't bench 235.
Right. I had a coach come up to me and after an AAU game in high school, and he was like, you need to start lifting. You will be the best person on this court, because I was just so small.
Right.
And I was tough, but I was so much smaller than everyone else. Yeah. He was like, if you get a little more meat on your bones and if you're stronger, you will be the best person on this court. Yeah. Didn't listen to him. Probably should have.
I'm a like... We have all, my guys is very, like, we lift 2 or 3 times a week. Like, I'm a big believer in it for our players, and I do think it would help. I was just never that guy.
Yeah.
All my friends, like, my buddy runs a gym as well. You know, he's a big lifter. My best friend, Tommy, huge lifter, played football at Bowdoin. Like, he's like a, he looks like a gorilla. And, like, there I am. I just look like spaghetti.
Right.
More importantly, because I feel like you're trying to get all of us to forget what I was talking about. Are you going to do the boot camp?
Oh, this is how he does it. He does it on the podcast. I guess so.
Yep.
So here's how Brendan broached the idea of this. He's like, hey, my buddy Tom runs the gym, you know, in Southie, good friend of mine, known him for a long time. He's been doing these boot camps on IG Live. I think it'd be hilarious. Because again, he knows I'm not a workout guy. Right. It's only going to be hilarious because people are going to be looking at me. I'm going to be dying on this thing.
You're going to be gassed.
Dying.
Gassed.
And side note, I rode the bike this morning.
Wow.
Trying to get back into it. You know, Kim's good. Like, hey, why don't you go ride the bike? So that's like half of a sign. Like, you know.
It gets, so you're fine.
Yeah, well, I guess. So... Brendan, I'm not letting this slide, texts me at, it's probably like a Thursday night, like 10 o'clock at night.
Again, who's up that late?
Well, but you have to be up early. You got to be up early. I mean, we're up relatively early, but, and he goes, hey, sign us up for a boot camp. What do you think?
You didn't even ask. You just threw him in?
I dropped my phone. And I texted him, and I go, what? I think my exact text was, huh?
Huh? Why?
And he goes, yeah, we're signed up. What do you think? Next, and it was like Wednesday. He goes, what do you think? Can you do like Saturday? What?
Yeah.
Huh? No. No. And then I finally talked to you. You're like, yeah, all right. Yeah, maybe we'll push it back a bit. Yeah, I think so.
It's not a marathon. You don't have to train for it. Like, you just get out there. You're not going to be able to walk for a few days after, but you'll be fine.
It's going to be an agony.
Agony. A boot camp.
It doesn't matter. You can walk up. I'll walk up a hill right now. I'm going to be sore the next day. So yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, we're going to be sore regardless of what we did.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Right? There's no question about that. But the fact that he just goes boot camp right away.
Signed you up.
Signed us up. Hey, we'll be there. I put the kibosh on that right away.
Oh my God.
That was one of the craziest texts I've ever received.
Tom, we'll be there. And hopefully we can get it on.
I can't wait, Tom.
Hopefully
I'm so
we
excited.
Can get on Instagram Live because I'm dying.
I'm so excited.
We got to get Sheehan in a headband, maybe a tank top, something good.
All right. Here's a few things that I want to add on. Yes, I will be wearing a headband. 2, can you get me, Tom, if he sells this at his gym, one of those Gold's gym ones that dip way down
string. Nope, he's not
the
that
string
person.
Top. He's no, but I want to be because it'll be hilarious looking.
He might have tank tops, but t-shirt. I feel like it's more t-shirts.
You just got to cut it up.
Yeah, this isn't Gold's gym.
But you know what I'm talking about? Those like string, real thin ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, which would make it that much funnier, I think. So to loop this all around, you're practicing with your players, and we both play in men's leagues. Annie, you mentioned you play in a women's league. You said you had a game just before COVID. How did you feel? Because you're a few years younger than me, a few years younger than Brendan. How did you feel afterwards?
So it's so funny, because I was training for the marathon. So I was running... Dude, I was waking up on a Saturday morning running 18 miles, no problem. I was in the best shape of my life, of my existence.
Not a big
deal. In the wrong room.
Again,
right now.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Humble brag, was running a lot.
No, but huge deal. That's amazing.
Thank you. Awesome. Didn't get to run it, obviously, because it was virtual. I'll run it next year, whatever. That's a whole other conversation. But So the next morning after basketball, I have never been that sore in my life.
The like, different muscles that you use.
Dude, basketball in shape is totally different. You're using muscles like I couldn't even get out of bed.
Right.
When you it's like when you're trying to get dressed in the morning and it's painful to even put on socks, that's when you know.
Trust me, I know that, sister.
It wasn't great. It was not great.
Oh, I trust.
So Tell was there from Emmanuel.
Good guy.
Recruit one of our guys. Mm-hmm. And he saw me lacing him up. He was like, oh, my God, coach, you're getting out there? And I told him, I was like, dude, I haven't played in months. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, first possession, guys sending me, like, a pin down screen. I'm like, all right, we obviously have.
Yeah, Carl.
We obviously have guys. I'm like, guys, I'm the screener. Yeah. I'm like, I'm making, like, baseline cuts to come up and receive the ball. I'm like, I haven't even caught a basketball in so long.
Yeah, face up game.
But, you know, for the guys who have played me in the past, I had, Tell will attest to this, triple single. I had three assists, two behind the back passes, a couple of rebounds, one or two steals, maybe a block. So
maybe a block. I love that.
Well, because I had
was it like the block on Gurley that we talked about last episode?
If you go and watch, I'm not asking for people to watch my YouTube video, but go watch my YouTube video now and get that thing trending. It was. I would say it's probably a 3.5-4 minute video, and 3 minutes of it is me stripping people.
Yes, yeah.
But people didn't know how to, so the people so that would do the box score didn't know how to, they didn't know how to score it.
Right.
So sometimes I would have upwards of, like, not even kidding you, like close to 10 steals in a game, but it would be counted as blocks because they were like,
Didn't.
So I
well,
led.
That makes you seem like super intimidating.
Right.
Like, oh my God, this guy's blocking 10 shots.
Right.
Who's that, Olajuwon? It's Manute Bol.
But the best part was every time I was going up and down the court, every time I made something that would get me in the box score, I'm like, that's another one, coach. And then he came up to me. He was like, so I got 3 assists. It was awesome. Yeah. He's a good shit.
So my men's league is starting this coming Tuesday. Haven't played basketball. You know, like you shoot around at practice when you're coaching or whatever. So I was shooting around, but like I wasn't getting up and down with these guys. This will be the first time I'm getting up and down in maybe a year.
Yeah.
Plus I have to wear a mask.
Oh, it is going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen.
I'm scared for you. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared.
I didn't play defense previously. I'm just going to be zoning up on my guy. There's no, I mean,
you have to.
Do you play man-to-man in your men's league?
Oh, yeah, we man. My team, we're good. The team name is Barely Legal, and they've been going for a while. We've won probably like 7 out of the last 8 men's league titles.
Unreal.
Down at Mass Premier. Like, we have a good, our team is, we have Tim.
Oh, Mass Premier. I miss Mass Premier.
So we have Timmy Clifford, who was a former Patriot League Player of the Year, 7-footer from Holy Cross.
Holy shit.
He's an enormous human being. One of the nicest guys.
We should try to set up a men's league game versus our old men's league team, Paul. That would be a good one. Well, I'm not saying that we have to play, but we can get them.
Just say
is
hi.
Is anyone playing? I mean, I don't know if we have anybody who can match up against a 7-footer. Maybe Jamil.
Yeah,
Jamil.
I mean, he's
Jamil.
Awesome.
Jamil was like...
Jamil was really good. He's a good player at WPI, too.
We can do that. I'm just going to give you the heads up. Like, we're going to be playing... Zone.
Here's what I'll say. In typical men's league fashion, other than Timmy, we make it rain. You know, again, like the only skill that sticks with you when you get older is shooting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like riding a bike because I'm not going to blow by anybody. I wasn't blown by people in my heyday. I'm not going to blow by people now, and I'm not all of a sudden going to be a 15-rebound-a-game guy.
There's nothing better, though, than playing well in, like, a men's league or a women's league game. Like, I felt like a superstar.
Yes.
I've never been so confident in my life than walking off that court. And it was with all new girls, too, so they were like, young blood,
God,
like,
who's
you're
this
good.
Chick? Yeah, she can
They're like,
hoop.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep her.
Yeah, she can hoop.
There like, is not there. Yeah, there's nothing better than, like,
nothing.
Nothing better when the hoop is, like, the ocean.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Like, I had one men's league game, the BAC, and same deal. Like, a couple of guys I played against at Westfield, Chris Kinback, if you're listening, he was one of them, and he invited me up to play. I hit my first 2 shots, and it didn't matter where I shot from after that. I finished with, like, no bullshit, probably, like, 35, 40 points. I have dreams, like, at least once a week about that game.
What a feeling, though.
I have dreams.
There's nothing better.
Like,
there's nothing.
Not a college basketball game, not a high school game. I have dreams about playing in a men's league game in front of no one.
Yep.
And I've started to think about men's league, like, and the men's league at Mass Premier, especially in the summer, it's a lot of college players who live in that area or former college guys. Like Bridgewater State has their team in there. UMass Dartmouth has their team in there. And Wheaton College has their team in there. So they all play. And, you know, we beat these teams every once in a while, but I've gotten to the point where, like, I'm just like, I'm getting a sweat in today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going baseline to baseline. I'm going to put in the effort to, like, get a sweat in, because, like, I could easily go 3-point line to 3-point line and be that guy, but, like, I hate that
guy.
You
can't.
And it's just, like, my competitiveness. Like, I obviously want to win, but, like, I'm like, okay, these guys.
Dude,
are,
I'm taking charges of women's league games. Like, I'm not messing around.
Oh, you're talking to a very charge friendly group here. Yeah, a lot of charges.
No, I was, but not. Yeah. No, absolutely. You're a psychotic person.
I know.
I'm not doing that now.
Intramural games in college, 4-year championship, no big deal. I took charges almost every single game. I was the most annoying person on the court. I'm diving into bleachers, like, I wasn't messing around.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I need you on my team.
Listen,
now.
Don't get me wrong. If you have a coach, that's the reason why I took charges. I'm not going to bullshit anybody. Like, I knew that my coach was going to love me for taking charges. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stay in the game because of it. You taking charges on your own without someone telling you great job outside of your teammates is borderline psychotic.
It's wild. It's a wild move. I love it about me.
I'm a charge guy, too, though. I have to say, I love taking charges. But I don't take as many as I probably used to, because you see a guy raise his knee up and I'm like, I like my teeth.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I don't want
to have a black eye tomorrow at work.
And so, crazy men's league story. It wasn't me. It was a buddy of mine who, you know, Ryan Kane, coach up at Keene State.
Yeah,
so I was playing in a, like, probably one of the most competitive people I've ever met. Unbelievable basketball player. Played at WPI, all time leading scorer. Like, you know, I can't say enough things about him. National player of the year. So, we were playing in a men's league, outdoor league.
Love.
So, like, you're diving essentially on gravel. And our team was vicious. This is like, we were all, like, still in, like, playing shape. We're flying around. He has his wedding engagement photos the following day.
Oh, no.
We're in the semis. This is how competitive this guy is. He dives on the floor after a loose ball and catches a knee to his eye and nose area. He's like gushing blood. And the first thing he says is not like, can someone get me a towel or something? He goes, my wife is going to kill me.
Oh, absolutely.
And they, like, somehow, you know, airbrushed the photos or whatever.
Sure.
It ended up working out. But he was like, oh my God, Annie is going to absolutely kill me. We ended up winning the game. But it was just like, dude, let that one go.
Right.
Like, let that ball go. It was early in the second half.
You can't,
like,
though. You can't.
I know you can't.
In the moment.
It's just, it's nature. It's just your nature. It's your habits.
I feel like you have a women's league story that you want to tell. Do you? Is I feel like you were.
Well, I feel, because I'm just, like, thinking about intramural games in college now, because I was that psycho. I'm diving. And we played, it was co-ed. So this kid, Keith, who stopped playing for the Flagler boys team, I think he was, like, the assistant coach at the time or something. And I'm playing against him, and he's like, 6'9", 6'10". And I'm like, fuck it, I'm taking a charge on him. Like, no problem. Like, no problem.
I love that.
Yeah. And it must be going up for a dunk. And I'm like, fuck it, I gotta just do it now. And I'm so stupid. Like, being a girl, you should cross your arms over your chest.
Right.
And I cross my arms up, like,
I love that. Nut
which,
check.
Which I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it's just always what I do. And I take a charge, and he looks down at me. He's like, are you kidding me? But I got the charge. Yeah. I was like, yes, dude.
And here's the best part. And I don't know if this is how your intramurals were, but where I went to school, it was like student refs.
Yeah.
So, like, anytime there was a charge, there were 10 whistle blows.
Yep.
And very animated, like, punching the air
of
charge
course.
Call. And it was
a
just
crazy
like,
night.
And yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Technical foul.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a time where you need to realize a hang them up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're at. And this for me was, I was in and I wasn't in men's league yet. I was a junior going into my senior year in college. I was doing an internship in New York.
Yeah.
I was living with some family members that were in Charleston, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I was looking for an outdoor court just to play hoop one day, and I see these kids playing, like, pickup. So, of course, and I'm like I'm in the best shape of my life at this point. I'm coming off a pretty good season my junior year, so I'm feeling good about myself. And I'm bouncy at this point in my life too. So I'm playing pickup, and I rip by, and I go to try to dunk on this kid.
Yeah.
And I, like, it just, like, kind of rims out. And yeah. I was like, and by the way, there is nobody filming. There is no photographers here. Nothing. I don't even know why I was doing this. Like I'm trying to embarrass this kid that I don't even know.
I thought you were going to tell me he clapped it off the backboard or something.
Oh, no. I almost, nope, it was almost a body bag. It would have been one of the first in my life. So I was like really trying.
Ball is life.
Yeah. Dog. So a couple of possessions later again.
Yeah.
It was almost like he allowed me or his teammate allowed me to go by him.
Oh, no.
So what did I do? I tried to recreate that moment.
Sure.
Boom. Right across my head. Like fist.
Yeah.
Fist to my face.
Yeah.
Gushing blood.
Yeah.
Gushing blood. Like splits me right open. I have a scar above my eye still from it. Had to go to the emergency room.
Right. Get stitched up.
Stitched up.
Thing.
I go into work the next day. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm in the finance industry at this point. Like I got a black eye.
Yeah. Stitches. The whole thing. Yeah. Big lump on your head.
Yeah. Paul's laughing. It looked crazy. And, I got the Boston accent. My boss used to bring me around from desk to desk, or even clients he would have in. He'd say, and he was a good dude, but he would be like, "Hey, tell him what your name is. Tell him where you're from."
Brandon Carter.
I was the most embarrassing.
You're a little show
ever.
Pony.
So I was the show pony, and then I was also the show pony fiend. Now he would bring me around. He'd say, "Hey, tell them what you did yesterday."
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, again, black eye, closed eye. Butterfly stitch? No, not even butterfly stitches. I had real stitches.
Yeah.
Oh my.
The butterfly
God.
Band-aid.
And I was like, and they were all like, "What were you thinking?" I was like, "I just wanted to go like shoot around." They were like, "Well, you weren't shooting around. You were trying to end some poor
posterize
guy's
this
career
kid.
for what?"
Right.
But point is like I was like that was kind of like the beginning to the end for me. Even though it was my junior year, I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna do this ever again. I don't think I want to play pickup anymore.
It's like you love the feeling of when you're playing and you're like, man, it feels so good to play.
Because
again, it's like, and this is why I really like, it's crazy that marathon training and stuff, like I've never been a person who can just go out and kind of just run.
Yeah.
Or like run on a treadmill and like stare at a wall. Like I wanna, like that's why I always did basketball workouts. Like, because of like, oh, I enjoy doing this and I'm still getting a good, you know, good cardiovascular stuff. There's no better feeling. You're like, man, that felt great. And then you wake up the next day and it's just like,
it's the worst.
What a mistake.
Yeah. Why?
Like, I love basketball, but do I?
Do I? I did a dodgeball tournament for a fundraiser for the marathon. Cause I was running for Dana-Farber and you have to raise a certain amount of money. And it was awesome. Like playing a game of dodgeball as an adult.
Yeah.
Top 10 moments of my life. It was so fun. But I woke up the next morning. I'm not kidding. I couldn't move the right side of my body. Last time you threw a dodgeball?
Oh, yeah.
Right. It was nuts.
Oh, go to the beach and throw a football. The next day, you're toast.
You're just hanging there.
No, I'm like, especially can you ice my shoulder for me?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, especially because like stuff like that, if you're going with like, you know, little nephews and little brother, whatever, you're like, go deep every time.
Go deep.
Keep going.
Yeah. And then you don't. And then you don't throw it and they get pissed.
That was 30 yards. Yeah. I used to be able to throw that thing over a mountain.
Yeah, no problem. Uncle Rico.
I have to ask this. I've been scrolling through my Instagram a lot and it's becoming tougher and tougher to scroll because as I'm scrolling through stories now. And I'm not talking about IG stories. I'm scrolling through
captions.
Captions that have turned into stories.
Yes.
A lot of short stories.
Novels.
Short, long stories. long. And I could easily just unfollow these people that I'm talking about, but it's almost like watching Stephen A. Smith. I can't stand
It's addicting almost.
But because his takes are like, he says things that you know he's just saying it to make an argument.
To get a rise out of you, yeah.
Right.
And it's almost like the same thing right now. So I'm talking about people that have proclaimed themselves as life coaches on Instagram. And Annie, I don't know how you feel about it, or Rye or Paul, but I for one, I don't understand it, I guess. Is there a certain course you have to take?
What is the certificate of being a life coach?
Yeah,
there is some sort of certification you can get, but I don't know who's giving the, like,
right.
Am I just running the life coach school and I'm giving out the certificate? Like, man, you know what? You have some pretty good advice.
These people are like,
you're certified.
Hey, my name's Jessica. I'm 21 years old. I've had two life experiences, but I have 4,000 followers on Instagram. Let me tell you
my story.
Let me be your life coach. Like, what are you talking about? Like, go to work.
The funniest part of it is the 21-year-old.
Right.
What have you gone through in your life?
And even if you have, that whatever life experiences you have, of course, shape you as a human being and make you better or whatever, and you learn from it. But you don't need to project that onto other people. You know what I mean? I hate that shit.
I'm not trying to be insensitive here either. Like, no. When I say this, because there's probably people, honestly, life coaches probably aren't listening to this podcast.
But there's probably some pretty good life coaches out there.
But there's also people that went to school that studied psychology,
personal wellness, like things like that.
That were educated on this for years. Like, I would love for one of those people to kind of give their opinion,
their take on it.
Because I know that they're sitting there, like, because that's going to affect even their livelihood, right? It's going to be like, hey, like, you're going and talking to this person who, like, you know, again, has no experience in that field and is just going to give you, like, some sort of, like, they're going to make, I don't even know, how does it work? Like, do you pay someone?
Yeah.
You do.
You pay for advice.
How do they make money?
Right.
So is it based off of like how much time you're spending with this person?
I would assume so.
I imagine because that's what it's like with a therapist and stuff. It's like based off the hour or.
And people were definitely taking advantage of this during quarantine. There was
absolutely.
Like there was so many new life coaches that popped up on my feed. Like once quarantine, we were like 3 or 4 months into quarantine, everyone and their mother was becoming a life coach.
Right.
And I guess for me, I just don't understand it. Like, hey, listen, if you can take advantage of an opportunity there, I guess. But at the same time, like being a life coach and giving like life advice is something I don't think you fuck around with.
Yeah. I mean, like in the middle of quarantine, like I did feel myself getting like depressed a little bit. You know, I'm a really social person. And Annie, you seem like you're extremely social. And Brent, I know you are too. And Paul, and I was just like, man, like not being able to get outside and see people. I was like, man, I was getting pretty down, but I 100% was not looking on Instagram for life advice.
That's what I mean. Like if
I was fine, I was okay, you know, but like, I didn't need to.
But you reach out to your family or your friends or whoever can give you that advice. I don't need to go talk to a stranger. But I mean, therapy is a different thing. Like,
absolutely. Completely different thing.
Because they also have a doctorate in whatever they understand the brain. But it's funny because I feel like I see this all the time on TikTok. I am obsessed with TikTok because when we were stuck in quarantine, I was like, Jesus, I got to do something.
Might as well. Yeah.
So I'm just like mindlessly scrolling. And it's funny because there's people that are like life coaches. And then you'll get like someone that was actually like a psychiatrist or someone that is actually intelligent. And I'm like, it's not fair to these people who went to school for 8 years to understand the brain and all of the chemicals and everything. And then you have this girl that's trying to tell, I'm like, I don't care.
This girl banging on a drum,
right?
Because there's a red moon coming on Friday. I don't
feeling witchy.
Yeah, I don't. Mercury is in retrograde. Like I don't. What? Huh?
It's such a fine line to me because I think it's great that we're moving towards this way in social media where people are actually like vulnerable and they're not trying to act like they're perfect because that's the worst part about social
right.
media.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
You'll see couples that are fighting at the bar and then the next day they're posting a photo. Yep. Like life isn't. But that's not real. That's not real. So I like that part. I don't necessarily like want to see people crying because I don't want to see people crying. But I think that it's such like a small window that people take advantage of. I feel
it's either authentic or it's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I'm struggling because unfortunately that's how I'm going to continuously look at it now is like it's almost like everything's an act. And if you don't want it to be an act, I almost want to be like, well, go get certified in whatever that field is.
Right.
So that I don't perceive it that way. Right. Because unfortunately, like, that's how I'm looking at it. It's like, it starts off as being a life coach, and then all of a sudden they got a YouTube channel, and now they're selling merch. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like,
it's after a week?
Oh, yeah. No,
after
like,
after a week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so what's really the goal here?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Are you just trying to make money, or are you actually trying to help people?
Yes, and social media, like you said, like it's true. Like I'm not a fan of that either. Like I barely even post anymore.
Yeah.
But every time I feel like I post, it's for like a life event or something.
But yeah, I don't really post much either. I will post life events, and I post my dog.
Amazing.
Which is that's about a little mini wiener dog.
People need.
Yeah, she's a delight. Yeah, if I want to smile at something, I'm going to look at people's dogs.
Absolutely.
Or like, again, life events. Like, hey, one of my friends got engaged. That's awesome. Or like, hey, you know, it's my buddy's birthday. Great. That's something cool too. But I don't need you to just post like a selfie looking off into the distance at the sun, you know, with some sort of caption, you know.
That's where I was going with this, is that social media is a tough thing to wrap your head around these days. And it's a tough thing to see because you're always going to go ahead and compare your own life, relationship, whatever it is,
sure,
to whatever you're looking at. And like Annie said, most of the time, it's not even real.
It's not.
Most of the time, almost, I probably say 95% of the time, it's not even real.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go ahead and go on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is and just feel like depressed. Like I got to read this long story. And again, like I give you credit for even doing it if you're in it for the right reasons. But like most of the time, I think people want to go on there to just like.
Attention.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys go on social media for? Like it's just, I mean, one, it's because you're bored, right? Like, right. You go on Instagram because you're bored. You go on Instagram because you're trying to figure out, okay, like, I'm depressed right now. Let me see some things that will make me happy. I don't think you go on Instagram because you want to see depressing shit, right? Am I wrong? Right.
I agree.
It's mindless, though. Like, to go on social media is just like a mindless thing.
You're just scrolling,
especially during quarantine, because what else were we doing?
Right.
You know, it's just doom scrolling. That's all it is. I have to have social media for my job. I have to be like up on it and everything. I try to like move away from Instagram. I'm a big Twitter girl just because Twitter's funny as hell and it's less depressing or less comparing. Like I don't need to follow random people on Instagram to see them post like their perfect bodies or what, you know, like it's not real to me. Like I've completely disassociated myself from believing anything on Instagram.
Right.
Just because how can you?
Yeah. And again, it all kind of stems back to like money.
Yeah.
You know.
Before we let Annie go, I think we got a lot of good stuff here today.
Yeah, I think this has been great.
I had a blast.
I think this has been great. What's he got? Uh-oh. He's looking at me. Scared. Every time he looks at me and smiles.
No. I was talking to our buddy Joe McCabe. And he's going to be fired up that we're talking about him right now.
Good guy. Another good guy.
Paul, can you actually get his Instagram going? Because he wants us to also drop his IG.
he's it's like, follow me.
But I was texting Joe, and yeah. So our mutual friend and Joe's mutual friend. I don't know if we drop his name. College coach, was a really good college basketball player. We'll pump him up before.
Yeah.
We'll pump him up before.
Another good guy.
Division III national champion.
Yes.
Coach for the Beavers currently.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at
Protect
that.
Protect the dam.
Yep. Yep. Coaches for the Beavers. First name is Matthew. That's where we'll go.
Yep. Protect the dam.
But I was out at the shanty recently, free ad. Unless Annie can get us to not make that a free ad.
Quincy native. You think I have pull? Please.
Quincy native. And we were there, I don't know, no more than like a couple weeks ago. And it's me, Joe, our other buddy, Tim McCarthy, who I coached at Framingham State, Matt. And Taylor end up coming in, and Tim McCarthy's girlfriend. And Matt gets a call.
Yep.
Right? And his ring has to be, it was on deaf. Like, I mean, this thing was loud. Loud.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's probably like 5 o'clock. You got people that are in there for dinner at this point. It's not loud by any means. And his ringer is exploding in everyone's ear. Okay? He let this thing ring. He let this thing
just
ring.
Let it rock.
He let this thing. Not only did he let it ring, he sat there and I know we're not being filmed right now, but he sat there and looked at the phone while it's ringing, and he never once smashed
click
that
the side button.
Never once smashed
didn't want to
that.
Silence it.
Didn't want to silence it. And he's looking at it, and he's like, he gives us the look, and he was like, I got to take this. And I'm looking at him, and I don't know. I know Matt, yeah, but like, I don't know like, him well enough to be like, dude,
take it,
please.
Yeah,
for everyone here, please.
And he's just like. So he gets up. This thing now is ringing for 10 seconds. It's ringing for 10 seconds. It's still ringing. And he's walking out the side through door the of the shanty. Yeah, through the restaurant.
No.
And he comes back. And it's all the way outside, it's ringing. Okay? And I looked at Joe, and I was like, was that real? And Joe was like, what do you mean? I was like, why didn't he just silence his phone? That was the crazy. I'm embarrassed. I think we need to leave this restaurant.
Yeah. The bartender was like, you gotta go.
Everyone was looking at it. As he comes back in, and I had to call him out. I was like, can we talk about what just happened there? And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know that there's a button on the side of your phone that you can hit that silences this?
Yeah, and you can still look at the phone. And like, it doesn't hang it up.
It's okay.
And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, Matt, I was like,
he's a cartoon character.
You know, when you guys, like, this is how I feel. Like,
He's a cartoon character, so I'm not surprised.
I could be anywhere. It doesn't even matter. I could be in a place where it's loud as shit. But if like my phone starts ringing and it's on ring,
yeah,
I'm like immediately I'm hitting that thing.
My first question is, who has their ringer on?
That.
You know what I mean?
Thank you. I never have
ever.
My ringer
it's
on.
Vibrate. If your phone's never, not on vibrate, you're creepy.
Never.
You're creepy.
My wife, and she can attest to this. Her phone will go off. Like, she'll put it on for whatever.
Sure.
That's a whole nother conversation. Like, but she'll put it on. It'll go ding when she gets a text message. And she'll look at me. And I'll be like, turn off your ringer.
People that have the sound on for their keyboard.
Oh, the clicks?
I can't. Don't be friends with me. Don't sit anywhere near me in
a
restaurant.
You know what? Taylor has the clicks.
I can't.
She'll be sitting there. I think I told her to turn it off.
It's been nice, Taylor. See you later.
I told her to turn it off. Like sitting there watching.
I can't marry you. Yeah.
Like watching a movie and she's texting Casey. I'm like, is this real? Am I in the Twilight Zone?
Is this real?
I'm like, real?
Why do you need that? Is there a mouse tap dancing in our living room? What is going on?
Let me tell you something. To take it even further. If your phone is on a table, such as this one, or just like you're at a restaurant, and it starts to vibrate, and it's like rocking on the table, and if you don't pick that thing up and click the side, I'm going to throw your phone.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Matt Cochi just looked at his phone and let it ring.
Oh, man, Matt, I got to do it. So he comes back. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I have to because now I'm kind of excited that you're going in on him. So I already felt bad because he wasn't taking it too well when I was calling him out because he was probably like, I don't even know
he
you that
shouldn't.
Well, Brendan.
That's outrageous.
So we get our meals. We get our meals and he got like steak tips.
Yeah.
And
oh, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, again, he's a cartoon character. Go ahead.
So he gets his steak tips and he's cutting them like he's almost like he's stabbing, like a dead animal. And I'm watching him cut, and I'm like, is everything okay? And he's like, he's looking at me again, like what now, Brendan? And I was like, is there a reason why you're holding your fork and knife
like a Neanderthal,
like an animal, like a barbarian?
He's in prison.
That's amazing.
So, hey, Matt, we love you.
Love you.
Like, this is like
great coach.
Yeah, great coach. Yeah, right? Awesome player.
Like, good dude.
You're
really
an
good
awesome
dude.
Person. But you eat like you're in Walpole.
It's his last meal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, literally his last meal. And so, like, people are going to steal his food.
Yeah.
So I was watching. I didn't call him out yet at this time. I'm watching him cut his food. And I'm like, watching. And he's like, The knife was like digging into the below the plate into the wood
which is the worst sound.
And
the knife
he
into
cuts,
the plate.
So I'm trying to think of how I eat. So he cut it and then
he's a lefty, keep in mind.
Kay.
Right. So let's just say I'm eating a steak. I'm holding the fork with my left hand. I'm cutting
That's
with
correct.
The right.
That's correct.
Okay. And then I ate with the left.
That's correct.
So he
yes,
switched
sir.
So he was cutting. And then he switched hands, put the silverware down, switched hands to eat. Which, is that not weird for you guys too? So think about it, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm cutting my food. Are you guys all righties in this room?
Yeah.
Just cutting my food with the right. And then I'm holding the steak with my left fork.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I'm picking the steak that I already have in the fork. It's already in there. And so he puts it down, takes the fork out, and switches hands. And I'm like, dude. I'm like, are you serious right now? And he was like, and the whole table like lost their shit. I mean, Tim McCarthy, who he's got a machine gun laugh. He's like, he is crying laughing right now. Right?
This poor kid, he's like, what can I do right for you?
And Taylor said, she's probably going to be bullshit that I'm doing this, but she was like, she came home that night and she was like, Do you know that kid that we were with tonight? I was like, yeah, yeah. Like I've known him for a long time, like well enough. And she was like, I felt so bad. She was like, I felt like he wanted to leave the table. And I was like, no, he's fine. I was like, it's just like, you know, typical like buddy banter and type shit. And
so he just for everyone,
he goes home crying.
Yeah, Matt is now probably like Steve Buscemi.
Yep.
Billy Madison. And he's just right putting on the lipstick. Brendan's name.
You're number one on the list.
Brendan's name on the list.
Sure glad I called that guy.
Sure glad, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Definitely not Steve Buscemi with French fries and Oreos.
Yeah. You know me too
French
well,
Deed. French fries and Oreos, Deed. But yeah, and then I think I think Joe was, he was being a good friend. He was trying to have Matt's back. He was like, I think I do that too. And I looked at Joe. I'm like,
You're a liar. Team guy. Love that out of Joe. Team guy, but like.
So that could be another debate. Love debate. Paul knows that. Cutting food if you're a righty. Do you hold, so after you hold the food with your left fork, do you put it down and switch hands, or do you just take that fork and you throw it right in the gullet?
I feel like that's like driving with both feet. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're hitting the gas with your right foot and then you would hit. That's what it feels like to me, like switching hands and doing that.
I've tried that before, just like out of curiosity.
It's so hard.
Really hard.
It's so hard.
Really hard. Oh.
My first car was a stick, so I had to drive with both feet. Yep.
Oh, because the clutch.
Because the clutch. Yeah. But no, I would never do that now.
I can't believe you drove a stick.
Me either.
First car.
I didn't even know they made them anymore.
Why would they? It's so stupid.
My buddies used to, if I was on a hill, like say in Selby, like G Street Hill or something, and I wasn't paying attention, they would slap it into neutral. They would slap it into neutral, and I'd be like rolling back.
Perfect.
Good people in my life. But I am sorry. I apologize, Matt. Like I had to bring that up. One, because it's a great story. And we were dying laughing. Like the whole table like thought it was so funny. The cell phone ringing.
My dad
like will try to at least like he'll break his phone. He'll snap that thing in half. Before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He lets it ring.
Oh yeah.
Like the cell phone.
My dad has his ring is the sound that we all have for our text message.
No. No. Why?
Yeah.
How did you do that is a great question.
How did you even... I didn't know that was a thing.
Why?
So his phone will go off, and I'm like, Dad, you have a text, and then it just keeps going.
Bing,
and going,
bing.
And going. I'm like, dude, that's your
No wonder he's trying to break his phone.
I would,
and
too.
And then the opposite. And
you're lying.
Swear to God.
You're a lie.
I swear to God, him and my mother's the opposite now. When they get a text, it's the sound of your phone ringing.
No, it's not.
I swear to you. I swear to you. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. I mean, I'll go home and live with them for the next week, and I will get it on video somehow.
No, it's not true. That's not true. There's no way. That's not true.
I swear to God. I say it every time I'm there, and I hear it. I'm like, your phone's going off. They're like, oh, no, it's your sister text. I'm like, why is that your text message sound? Why is that your text
message? Please, for everyone.
For a text.
For a text. Right?
You're a liar. You're a liar.
I swear to God.
I don't believe you.
Oh, man.
Your parents are unbelievable people. They're not savages. I don't believe that.
My parents still have a house phone.
So do mine.
Why?
Oh, I have a house phone.
Why? Who's calling a house phone outside of bill collectors?
That's it.
I have a house phone.
Why? You personally have a house phone?
I have a house phone.
Why do you have a house phone?
I don't even know the number.
Amazing. I love that.
I don't even know the number. I've never called it because with like our cable bundle.
Yep, yeah. But don't.
Just,
nope.
They just said, you know, we'll just throw this in.
You're like, sick. I love a landline.
Great. So we have it.
No. Yeah.
It has never rung.
I know the bundle packages that you're talking about. You can also tell them that I'm not going to use this, and no one has used this in 20 years. Okay.
It makes me a novelty.
My mom tried looking up, we're planning my sister's bridal shower. My mom tried looking up an address on White Pages, and she was getting so mad. She's like, why is there nothing on White Pages anymore? I'm like, because no one's used White Pages since 1996, girly.
Oh, text don't get me
them.
Wrong. My dad's
White
like,
Pages.
Don't
White
get me wrong.
Pages.
Up until like a month ago, I'm pretty sure my dad was using MapQuest.
MapQuest.
Oh, 100%.
Printed out directions.
Absolutely.
Gene, let's get more ink in this.
We're only halfway through our destination. My dad, and I respect the older generation for this, and my dad's not from the city. He's from Burlington, north of the city, but he spent a lot of time in the city, like working when he was younger, whatever. He can get anywhere.
It's so wild.
Anywhere.
My dad's
now,
the same
way. I'm pretty good with directions, but I need to like today, I drove to your house today, first time without the GPS. I've had the GPS the last couple of times. Because, you know, I don't know. Quincy's a wild place. I don't need to get lost in Quincy. So I got here today without the GPS. You know, like once I have it, I have it. But my dad can be like, oh, I've never been there before. Yeah, I know exactly how to get there.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
All throughout Boston, the one ways, the whole thing.
My mother used to highlight. She used to highlight the directions for me just in case I wanted to look at anything else that was on this piece of paper, like an Ask Jeeves ad. I'm like, no,
yeah, at the top. Yeah.
I'm like, Mom, I got this. Don't worry.
That's so good.
Oh, yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
There's no
redirecting. Redirect. Right? You're on your way.
We're spoiled. We're spoiled.
Yes.
I mean, the younger generations are really spoiled, but like we're now spoiled in the world we live in because of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Since it is Sunday and it's beautiful out today, we want to make sure to get Annie on her way. We can't thank you enough for coming out here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. As you can tell, like, you know, as much as it is a basketball-centered podcast, you know, we do kind of go off the rails a little bit. And we talk
shit about people using utensils.
Yes. And Matt, we love you, buddy.
Yes. Back to, and just to circle back on that very quickly here. The food eating thing can get like a little strange. Like, you know, everyone kind of eats a different way. The cell phone thing is
wild.
Is I can't get over that. That is can't be done.
Yeah, your relationship might change afterward.
Yeah, Coachy. I love Coachy. He's an awesome guy. Cheapest girl. Figure it out.
If you don't already listen to 104.1, make sure to tune in the morning. Carson and Kennedy, 5:30 to 10. Guys, anything before we go?
Thank you for having me. I had an absolute blast. It's so nice to talk basketball, talk everything.
Continue, guys, to please listen, please share, please subscribe, please rate, all that other stuff on Spotify and Apple.
Before you go, can you give us some constructive criticism? Since this is what Annie does for a living.
He's
so
a pro.
You know, you're talking to two guys that have mics in front of them for the very first time. Also, understand that you are sitting in my house. And that anything you say
can and will be used against you.
Yes.
I think you guys do a really, really great job. I think it's great conversation. I think you should be proud of yourselves because starting a podcast isn't easy. And a lot of people do it. A lot of people suck and they're not interesting. I think you guys are interesting. You made me feel welcome, which is huge because you want your guests to feel
comfortable.
Like they're chilling. Yeah.
Right.
Like I just feel like we're just boys like chatting, you know? And I think that that's really cool. And I'm excited to see what you guys do in the future.
No, I appreciate that. That's awesome to hear.
That's all I needed to
hear.
My
Sunday is great.
You heard it here, folks.
Do we give Rob any love here?
No.
No love for Rob.
No.
Absolutely
not. This is about me, not about him.
So I'm going to cut this out after?
Everyone's like, you got to have him on. I'm like, fuck no. This is about me.
If we do keep this, I don't know Rob on a personal level, but Annie's boyfriend, Rob, I've been told is hilarious. And he sounds like a good follow on Twitter. Again, we might end up having to cut this out, Rob. Sorry about that. It'll be Annie's choice. But it might have to be also that we get him on here one day and he might have to just be like, dude, everything Annie said was a fucking lie.
Yeah,
just
garbage.
Start ripping it up.
Yeah. Yeah. We're about that too. Hopefully everyone's brackets.
Yep. Any sort of gambling you've got going on in March Madness, best of luck. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. It's, you know, best time of the year, in my opinion, as a basketball guy. And, you know, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Annie, thank you again for coming on. This is great.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
Peace out, Rabbit.